would you take your Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 5. We've been going verse by verse through several books of the Word of God. This is one of them. We usually say this for Sunday night because it's some of it's pretty stiff. And we don't know if the Sunday morning people can take all the stiff stuff. But this morning, you just get the stiff stuff. No, you know, the Lord wants victory for your life. And you can have victory for your life. But there are things that will steal that from you. Just like there are things that steal from you a good marriage, a good family. A good country can be stolen from us. A good church can be ruined and stolen. Doesn't have to be that way. Your life doesn't have to be miserable. It can be a wonderful experience walking with the Lord. And Galatians chapter 5 sort of gives us the whole ball of wax. You are either walking after the flesh or you're walking after the Spirit. Now, if you are not saved today, there is no way for you to walk in the Spirit. Because the Spirit of God doesn't have anything to do with you. But you know the wonderful thing, if you're not saved here this morning, you can receive Jesus Christ today and He will put His Spirit in your heart and change. He'll do that and change your life. And He'll begin to walk with you and He'll never leave you or forsake you. I can't see how any person that's not saved wouldn't want to take God up on that deal. But a lot of people don't, and so they just walk through their life without God. They walk through their life not in the Spirit, but just with the regular worldly disappointments that are all through our society and lives. It doesn't have to be that way. And so the difference here is between the flesh and the Spirit. Would you read with me? I just have two verses this morning because we're trying to, this is really part three of the message on the works of the flesh. But I'll start reading in verse 16 for you. Galatians 5:16, the Bible says this, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law." Now, as the Apostle Paul is going through this list of the works of the flesh that destroy people's lives, he says in verse 21, if you look at it again in the middle of the verse, he said, "Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past." In other words, this is not the first time that he had told them that. He's reminding them again about what he had already told them before. You know, it's really not something new that you need to hear. It's something that God's already told you and I that we need to obey. It's not some new message or some new circumstance. If people would just go back to where they messed up, if they would go back and listen again to what God was dealing with their heart, then the rest of the path of their life would work out. And the preacher is just repeating himself. And the reason he's repeating himself, I guess, because people don't listen very well. Or they're just like human beings are. We are prone to wander and we're prone to forget. He said, "I told you this before and I'm telling you again that this flesh, This flesh that you have is going to destroy you if you let it have its way in your life. Now, everyone in here, you know, the good thing about preaching a message like this, it applies to everybody. Because if you can pinch yourself, you've got flesh. So we're all here. Now, some of you, you know, some of you, this flesh, that's all you've got because you're not saved. But even if you are saved, you still got this flesh. You've got a nature that is against God. And God tells us what we can do to have victory in our lives and overcome. He tells us also in Romans chapter 8, he said, if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. It's going to destroy you. And that was written to Christian people. And so he says, mortify the deeds of the flesh that you can live to God. Your life can be what he wants it to be. And in this text, he says, I know there's some things you want to do and you just can't ever do them. And it's because the flesh has got a hold of you. So this applies to everybody in this room, whether you're saved or whether you're lost. And what he says is, he says, if you do these things, would you look at the Bible? In verse 21, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Is that what your Bible says? Now, let me first of all tell you what it does not say. It does not say they which do such things shall not see the kingdom of God. Is that in your Bible? No. It does not say they which do such things shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Does it say that? No, we have to look at what the Bible says. And a lot of times people read the Bible and then they make all types of different conclusions. But just look what it says. He says, they which do such things, he didn't say if you continually do them. He said, if you do this, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. You know what? When the Bible talks about the kingdom of God, you know how you get into the kingdom of God? Jesus said in John chapter 3 that you must be born again. You've got to get, if you're saved, you are in the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is not something physical. He said the kingdom of God is righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God, he says, is within you. You understand? But there is an inheritance connected with that kingdom. Now, I don't know if you've ever had an inheritance. I don't know if your parents are going to leave you a dime. But I think you understand what an inheritance is. Now, in our day, people pass out the gifts to the naughty and the nice alike, right? But the truth is that inheritances are supposed to go to the good kids. That's all right to say, man. That's okay. You say, I want to be fair. Well, what's fair about giving a kid something that's lived like the devil the same as giving a kid that's tried to do right all his life? I mean, God's not worse thinker than we are. Do you have an inheritance? Now, if your mom and dad have died, maybe they left you a house. Maybe they left you some land. Maybe they left you all the junk in the back room. I don't know. But maybe you're looking forward to that. I think some people can't wait till their parents do die so they can get their inheritance. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says this. If you do these things, you're going to miss out on an inheritance. That's what he said. He didn't say that you're not saved. He didn't say that. There's a lot of people that have done what's in those things I just read, and they're just as saved as I'm saved, just as saved as anybody's ever been saved, but they did something in that passage. Matter of fact, the whole purpose, look, if saved people couldn't do these things, why do you think he wrote that to the saved Galatians? Does that make sense? He wouldn't be writing that to the church, the people that belong to the Lord, if they were not able to, if that's never a problem they would have, he wouldn't have had any cause to write that. Saved people are guilty sometimes of doing those things. You know what the Lord says? You do that, you're going to miss out on an inheritance. There's going to be an inheritance connect. You say, what kind of inheritance is that? Well, the Bible talks about a lot of different types of inheritance. You know, some saved people don't understand that for 1,000 years after we go meet the Lord, there's going to be a kingdom in this world. And everybody's not going to be the same in that kingdom. And some people are going to lose inheritance in that kingdom based upon what they did or they did not do. Because you see, salvation's free, all right? But you know, an inheritance is a reward. I'll just read it to you. Look at Colossians. Grab Colossians. chapter 3 and get Acts chapter 20 with your other hand. You say, preacher, you know, they make fun of us as independent Baptists because we believe in eternal security. And they say, well, you believe once saved, you're always saved. Well, we believe in eternal life. That means that I have eternal life. It doesn't ever stop. And somebody says, well, if I believe that, I'd live any way I wanted to. Not if you have my Father. Not if you know who my Father is and how He deals with His children. Not just here, but later on. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, would you watch what he says in verse 23? Colossians 3, 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the, what's that word? The reward of the what? Inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Look at the next verse. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of person. You know, a lot of people in their Christian life have a lot of wrong that they're receiving in their life because they're living wrong. You can't expect God to bless you if you're living wrong. And you can't expect a reward of an inheritance if you've not lived the life that God wants you to live as His child. Look at Acts chapter 20. I'll give you one more verse on it. Acts chapter 20. He says in verse 32. Look at it real closely. I could ask you two questions. Are you saved, first of all? Then I could ask you, do you have an inheritance? Acts chapter 20, verse 32, the Bible says, and now brethren, so all these people are saved, they're brethren, they're part of the family of God. Acts 20, 32, and now brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an, what's that word? An inheritance among all them which are what? You know what a sanctified person is? A sanctified person is a person that has set himself apart to be clean. And the Bible says if you do those things in Galatians chapter 5, that's not clean. That's not a sanctified life. So there's a cost for doing wrong. That's one of the great deceptions of our time, is that there is no consequence for what I do. There are consequences for what we do. And the Bible says if you do these things, it's not just going to hurt your life. You're going to lose out on some inheritance that you could have as a child of God. Now, what are these works of the flesh? We've been going through them, and this is the third time we've gone through them. Go back to Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 21. I've got just a few left here in the list. Galatians 3, verse 20, the Bible says, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. We left off right here. Emulations. Emulation. You say, what's emulations? Well, it's a work of the flesh. Well, what is emulations? Emulation, according to the old 1828 dictionary, is this. It's an act of attempting to equal or excel someone else in qualities or actions. It's a desire of superiority. In other words, it's jealousy. It's wanting to be better than somebody else so that you can get the glory for it. You know what else that's like? Look at the first word of verse 21. Another E word. Envyings. Emulations is like envyings. It's like, I want to be like her, or I want to be like him, or really, I want to come up better than they are so that I can get more accolades, I can get more recognition, I can get more than they have. And it's rooted in envy, it's rooted in jealousy. And the Bible says it's a work of the flesh. You see, works of the flesh. Now, we're going to get down here to drunkenness in just a moment. But you know, a lot of people, they look at the works of the flesh and they think they're just some wicked thing they do on the outside, like when we preached before on this list of adultery and fornication. But no, the works of the flesh are also inside of you. And one of the greatest works of the flesh is this thought of emulations and envy. You know, the Bible said they delivered Jesus to be crucified for envy. They were envious of him. The Jews were envious of him, the way the people listened to them. They were envious of his power. They wanted his power. They wanted his sway over the multitudes. You know, we still have people that are hungry for power. I think that's what's been driving this whole thing for the last 8 months. One of the things is just a lust for power. Somebody wants to be in control. I think maybe even some of our leaders in this country, they like to have the control of a Kim Jong-un. They like to have that power in their hands, you see. Emulations, envy. But you know, it also comes about in more subtle ways. I want to be careful. You know, ladies, some of you want to look good. And you want to look better than her. Or you want to look as good as this one you've seen on TV or this commercial. I want that look. That's a work of the flesh. You know what, ladies? You ought to want to look how God wants you to look. And to take another step, you ought to want to look the way your husband wants you to look. Envying. That's a real problem with our young people. Social media puts a pressure on them to emulate someone else. You know what it ends in? It ends in destruction. They continue to live their life by the work of the flesh to be like somebody else. And you know what? You know what's funny? Nobody ever wants to emulate a spiritual person. You know, the word emulations is only in the Bible twice. One time it's bad, one time it's good. In Romans chapter 11, he said he wanted to provoke the Jewish people to emulation of all the great things that God was doing with the Gentiles. You know, the Jews, you know what they did? The Jews, even after the Jews started getting saved in the book of Acts, they looked at all the Gentile world getting saved and the churches being blown out, how God was changing lives, and the Lord was prospering and blessing the Gentile church. And the Jews, instead of looking at that and say, wow, we want that too. You know what they did? They got mad. You know why? Because people don't have a problem wanting to emulate somebody else's success with their job. People don't have a problem wanting to emulate somebody else and want their life. Oh, I want their marriage. You know, you may not want their marriage. Or I want their spouse. Or I'm envious of their life. Or I'm envious of their relationships. Or I'm envious of how other people are always speaking well of them and they're not speaking well of me. That envy goes to the root. It's the rottenness of the bones. But my question is, why do people not want to emulate somebody that loves the Lord? Why don't they want to emulate somebody that walks with God? Why aren't they not jealous of somebody else's prayer life? Why aren't they not jealous of somebody else's time in the Word of God or soul winning prowess? Why do we always emulate the wrong thing? Why are we always jealous of what is not right? Instead of having a jealousy of wanting to be like Jesus. I wonder how many teenagers sat in the room and said, wow, I really want to be like Jesus. Instead of be like this loser, this dropout, this reprobate. Why don't they say, wow, I'm reading this Bible. I want to be like Jesus. Because the works of the flesh always have a motive not to be that way. Because it's rooted in pride and self-exaltation. And what I want to tell you is envy, listen, emulations and envy, are you listening to me? Will drive you crazy. It'll give you mental problems. You know one of the greatest things you can do for your own brain? Quit trying to be like other people. Quit wanting what other people have. It'll help your marriage. It'll help your home. To not be filled with all these thoughts of envy. That's where strife comes from. It comes from that envy that's on the inside. You know, emulations and envy, it'll not only drive you crazy, it'll drive a church crazy. I've seen Sunday school teachers want to be like other Sunday school teachers, want to have another Sunday school class. Or they want to have the success or prominence or position of somebody else in the church. I'm just telling you, envy. What's wrong with saying, God, I want what you have for me and I want everything you have for me? It's not that I'm trying to compare my life to others and I want what they have. It's a work of the flesh. It'll destroy you. It'll drive you crazy. It really will. Desiring that acceptance by others, desiring the better thing that other people have that you don't have. That's a work of the flesh. And that's exactly why the brothers of Joseph delivered him to the pit. Because they were envious of his relationship with the Father. You know, I came back from preaching one night there, you know, up in Carthage. I've watched this, by the way. I watched how people want to emulate and envy things that are fleshly and wicked, but they don't want to envy and emulate things that are spiritual. I got back from there. You know what? I gave an announcement on, when was it? I think it was Wednesday night. I said, Carthage. I came back. I was excited. The church giving over $1 million in a year to missions, 300-400 people. And now they went up to, I don't know, what, 1.3 or something like that? That was their new faith promise. You know what some people, when they hear that, you know what they'll do? Well, I'll tell you what. They just care about money and they're just bragging about money. Now, here's the thing. Wouldn't you want to emulate somebody that's doing more for Jesus than you are? Wouldn't that want to make you say, wow, let's get excited. You hear about a revival taking place in some church. Wouldn't you want that in your church? Wouldn't you want that in your life? I'm just saying, why do we want to emulate always that which is wrong, but never that which is right? Why wouldn't you want peace and joy and love in your heart and your life? Why wouldn't you want to find somebody that has that kind of walk with God and say, hey, I want that recipe for my life? Instead of the big muscles and the... You know, look, get all the muscles you want. I mean, and if you don't have them, Brother James will let you borrow a few of his. But the question is, why do you want that? What's the purpose? Is it a work of the flesh? Or is it to be healthy? Emulations, envy. And I tell you what robs us of the victory is envy. It'll rob you of a good spirit in the church. It'll rob you of the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. Because it's the opposite. Let me get the next one. Verse 20 of Galatians chapter 5, the Bible says, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions. We've already dealt with those. The word heresies. You know, heresy, you think a heresy is just a doctrinal problem. But according to the Bible, heresy is a work of the flesh. Now, how is heresy a work of the flesh? There are so many different types of heresy. Now, I'm not going to go back and preach the message I did in 2 Peter 2:1 or a couple years ago. Next month, we preached a message on heresies. It only occurs 5 times in the Bible. But a heresy, the reason it's a work of the flesh is because the flesh always has a motive not to believe right. In other words, the flesh believes heresy, believes things that are wrong because they're motivated not to believe what's right. In other words, you know what a heresy is? I'll give you several. Evolution is a heresy. Why do people believe the heresy of evolution? Because it's a work of the flesh. The flesh does not want to stand before a holy God that created him. The flesh does not want any responsibility before a creator. So, it's a work of the flesh. They'll believe a heresy. The heresy's about the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible calls if you transgress in the doctrine of Christ, the person of who Jesus is, 2 John says, you don't have God. That is an abject heresy. So many cults don't believe what the Bible says about Jesus. Why? Because it's easier for my flesh not to believe that Jesus is God in the flesh. He's my master. He's my Lord. It's easier on me to have a pope or a leader or a potentate that's just like me that maybe I can con because I know he's got the same problems I do, but not with Jesus. The flesh loves that heresy. It gives an excuse for the behavior of the flesh. Not just the heresies about the person of Christ. What about the heresies about salvation? The Bible talks about damnable heresies. Those are heresies that will send you to hell because it has to do with salvation. How is that a work of the flesh? You know, the Bible says, if you believe that water will take away your sin, you know that's a heresy. Water can't wash away your sin. The baptistry can't take away your sin. Well, wait a minute. Why do people believe that? You know, if you believe that taking a wafer or taking communion takes away your sin and saves your soul, you know that's a heresy. But why do people believe that? You know, if you try to keep the law for your own salvation, there's a lot of churches and cults that do that. You know, that's a heresy because it's your own works. But why do people believe that heresy? Listen, it's a work of the flesh. Because you know what? The flesh doesn't want to come just to the mercy and grace of God saying, I can't do it. There's nothing I can merit. There's nothing that I can accomplish to bring forth the mercy or the standing with God or the acceptance with God. No, the flesh wants to say, I got baptized and here's where I go to church and this is the commandments I keep. Yep. It's a work of the flesh. Right. Heresies are rooted in a work of the flesh. Well, the work of the flesh also has to do with divisions. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 tells us that. It also has to do with the way we live our lives. I wrote a book about the libertines. You know, this liberty movement is a heresy. The heresy that says, okay, I'm saved, and so I have the grace to do whatever I want to do in my life. That's a heresy. You know why? Because the flesh does not want to have any limitations. He says heresies. Why can't we just believe the Bible? Because the flesh doesn't want to just believe the Bible. Let me ask a question. We believe every word in this Bible is true, don't we? Every word. Why do you think somebody would believe the heresy that it's not the Word of God? Because then they don't have to live this way. It's a work of the flesh. He moves on from that heresies and he says something else because I've got to hurry. He said, verse 21, envyings. We've already dealt with that. And then he says, murders. And you hear a sigh of relief from the congregation. At least I've not done that one. But that's not true either, is it? Because Jesus said, don't you know all these people when you ask them, have you ever been saved? No, I've never been saved. Well, you know, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. Oh, I'm not going to hell. Why are you not going to hell? Because I never killed anybody. Well, the Bible says if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. Boy, I tell you what, we've got so much murder in our society. We've got so much hatred among people. And that's a work of the flesh. And it's going to continue. All types of murder. You know, the Bible says over there in Timothy, he talks about that law is not for a righteous man, it's for an unrighteous man, and for murderers of fathers and mothers. We've seen that in the past. You're going to see it more. Murderers. People that want to destroy other people. People that want to kill each other. I mean, just the other day when I was talking about how many people were murdered in Chicago and murdered in all these big cities, and it's just like nothing. Nobody thinks. I mean, even little kids get murdered. And I tell you one thing. It's a shame and disgrace that somebody would say I don't believe a Bible-believing person can vote for a political party that believes in the murder of babies. That our society would say up to 9 months you can start chopping a baby. That is such a work of the flesh. You say, well, why is that a work of the flesh? I'll tell you what, a work of the flesh. You know what abortion's all about? It's about me being able to continue to do what I do in the flesh. Isn't that right? In other words, I murdered this child so I can keep living my wicked lifestyle. It's all a work of the flesh. People murdering themselves, that's also, you know, the devil, Satan is the murderer. Jesus said that. He was a murderer from the beginning. All he is the agent of death. Boy, I'm glad that God's got something more for me than death. He's got life. God's got a life. And look, you may be guilty of hating someone. You may be guilty of abortion. You may be guilty of all sorts of things. And thank God that God has enough blood and forgiveness and grace. He can cleanse you of that. The Spirit of God can give you something else besides the murders of the flesh. Murders. Oh, why a society would choose death instead of life? Because they have to choose the Spirit of God instead of the flesh. Look at the next one, verse 21. Envyings, murders, drunkenness. Boy, you won't hear this preached every day in pulpits around America. Preacher, what's wrong with our country? The flesh. You say, what about the devil? I tell you what, when you get the devil and the world and the flesh on the same page, you're well nigh hopeless. But it's the flesh. Look, if the flesh didn't want what the devil wanted, it can turn away. It can go God's way. It can receive Christ. The flesh doesn't have to go along with the world. The Lord can take control over that flesh and it can be crucified under the world and the world of it, as he said in the next, in verse 24. But when they all get on the same page, drunkenness. We got Christians that believe in drinking, alcohol. You know what I thank God for? In my lifetime, I've had two presidents of the United States that didn't believe in drinking alcohol. You know they made fun of those two? And one's in the White House right now. Why doesn't anybody give kudos to that? I tell you why. Because we have a drunken society. We have, and you can get drunk on more than just alcohol, by the way. You know what I said the last Memorial Day. Listen, this year, $1 billion was spent on beer. This year. One day. $1 billion with a B. And that's not hard liquor, that's just beer. We have a drunken society. Well, what do you think's going to happen when you have a drunken society? The beer's not going to be enough and the liquor's not going to be enough, so they go to the opioids. We have got 21 million people in our country addicted to drugs. 21 million. I wonder how many of those voted in November. Wonder how many of those are tearing up their homes. We have a drunken society. 130 people die every day because of opioid overdose. That's America. Drunkenness. And then people come into a church house and we're singing and the Spirit of God's trying to work. But you know what? The devil's got his own brew and the devil's got his own spirit and the devil's got his own fake thing out there to give some people a little pickup, a little lift. And the Lord says, you know where all that ends? It doesn't end in victory. What's controlling your life? I don't want a pill to control my life. I don't want a bottle to control my life. I want the Spirit of God to control my life. And He can. You know what goes right along with that drunkenness? He says right there in verse number 21, revelings. What is revelings? Old 1828 dictionary says revelings is feasting with noisy or loose merriment. It's carousing. Just have a big party. Have a big party. You know, probably one of the only good things about this COVID-19 is that the bars are shut down. Praise the Lord for that. And some of the parties have been sort of stopped. But boy, they're geared up to start it again. January 1. I never forget as a pastor. When I was a young pastor, I didn't think any Christians were drug addicts or dope heads or drunks. I didn't think any of them went to cocktail parties and it shocked me. The first time I found that out, I had to go visit one of the church members and said, "Man, somebody saw you walking out of the beer out of the store with buying some booze. What's that about?" He was a lawyer in my church. He became the Commonwealth attorney. But you know, I was such a dumb young little preacher. I didn't know any better than just to do right and say, "I thought the Christians don't do this." He put his head down, you know. Had to deal with it. Look, here's the thing. Why would you want to feast on the world's fun instead of feast with God? We got a song in that book. Feasting on the riches of His grace. Resting neath His sheltering wings. Always looking on His smiling face. That is why I shout and sing. I did what I was back there in my office this morning during Sunday school and I heard people shouting in here in Sunday school. I thought, wow, what's going on? Sunday school. Somebody's happy.
Well, why do you have to be happy just if you're on dope somewhere or you're in some booze party somewhere? Well, why do you have to have the brew of the world to be happy? No, no. You can have a continual feast with Jesus Christ.
You say, well, I don't have a continual feast with Jesus Christ. It's because you're not walking in the Spirit. Because if you walk in the Spirit, there'll be love, joy. Do you ever get mad at people who are always happy? I used to do that with my eldest daughter. My eldest daughter, I can say this because she's not here. Bethany, she would get on my nerves. She's always been that way, though. As a child, she was just the most simplistic child. Everything was just great. And I thought, okay, for 5 or 6 or 7 years old, that'll hold true. But I mean, it went all the way through her teen years. It's there now. She's just like this. And she'll be in the house. My wife tells you, she'll be in the house before she moved to Greenville. And she'll be singing in the house and whistling in the house 24 hours a day. And sometimes they say, why are you still singing? She didn't know any better than to be joyous and happy all the time. To the point it got, because you know what? We're not all singing. We're not all whistling all the time, are you? And you know what? You know what? When you're not filled with the Spirit, when you're walking after the flesh, when you see that joy, instead of wanting to emulate that joy like we were talking about, you don't appreciate that. Why don't I have that kind of joy? Why don't I have that kind of happiness? Why don't you get connected with the Holy Ghost? You say, preacher, you don't know what's wrong in my life. You don't know my problems. Hey, God's bigger than your problems. We're not talking about changing your outside, brother. We're talking about changing your inside. You know what I believe? I believe there are people in North Korea that have more joy than people sitting right here tonight, this morning. You know, I've been on the mountaintop in New Guinea. Listen. I've been on the mountaintop in New Guinea there where the sun never shone seemingly and no white man ever been there. I've been back there in those jungles. I've mixed and mingled with some of those people that have been saved there. They have absolutely nothing. Nothing. And I saw a smile, and I saw joy, and I heard a prayer that rang true, and I heard songs that were genuine, and I looked in lives of people that literally had nothing but a dirt floor and no store, and no, I'm talking about no store. I'm not talking about no Walmart. I'm talking about no store. I'm talking about living in the jungle with nothing. And the only reason they had clothes on was because they were saved. The next tribe next door was the National Geographic pictures you've seen. But this village, they're saved. I'll never forget. They just had about 6 or 8 roosters in their village. They killed them all for us. Killed every one of them. And fed them to us. That's all they had. And they were so happy. And I'm thinking, hey, you don't have any roosters now. What are you going to do now? They're not thinking about that. You know why? They don't care about the rooster. They're happy. They want to sit down and have a feast with somebody that knows Jesus Christ and have joy together. And I saw something on that mountain that I've not seen. In some rich American houses that say they've been saved for 20, 30 years. You say, preacher, my circumstances are so bad. We're not talking about that. We're talking about right in here. What robs you of that? The flesh. The way the flesh thinks, the way the flesh lives, takes away that joy. And then the last thing he says in Galatians 5, he says, drunkenness, revelings. And then he says, and such like. You know, I'm so glad God put that in the Bible. Because I get so tired of these modern progressive Christians coming up to me and say, well, I don't see that in the Bible. Why can't I do this? Well, there is a verse in the Bible for you, and it's such like. Amen. All the invention. You know why God put that in there? Because every generation invents some other work of the flesh. And so God says this, anything that looks like that, is the same thing. If it's not of the Spirit of God, it's a work of the flesh. If it's not holy, then it's not right. If it's not love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, long-suffering, faith, meekness, temperance, if it's not godly, then it's ungodly. And if it looks anything like this list, it's just the same old, which is the flesh. You know why marriages get destroyed? The flesh. You know why Christians quit church? The flesh. You know why Christians quit praying, quit walking with God, and quit living the life God wants? It's the flesh. And it doesn't have to be that way. Here's the flesh. Here's the Spirit. What an easy choice. Have you made that choice? Or are you going to let that flesh keep telling you what to do all the days of your life? Instead of let that Holy Spirit of God run your life and give you victory. If you're not saved here this morning, God can put a new spirit in your heart, give you a new life. And if you are saved this morning and your life is dominated by the flesh, the Spirit of God can change that.